When we pick up the scene, Amos is standing in the king's court. In fact, he and the official representative of the king are eyeball to eyeball. Amos is in his old rough garments, standing there preaching. Now read Amos chapter 7, verse 10. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent word to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is unable to endure all his words. For thus Amos says, Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will certainly go from its land into exile. That was his message. Not much comfort there. Here is the priest, polished, exquisite, beautifully attired, eloquent, jeweled, unsaved, standing before scrubby Amos with his stained hands and frowning face. Then Amaziah said to Amos, Go, you seer, flee away to the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and there do your prophesying. Amos chapter 7, verse 12. Can't you see him? Get out, scram, move. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I am not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet, for I am a herdsman and a grower of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go prophesy to my people Israel. Amos chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. Where were Amos's eyes? On the Lord. Amos didn't ask for this job. God called him. The Lord said to him, Go prophesy to my people Israel. He continued, And now hear the word of the Lord. You are saying, You shall not prophesy against Israel, nor shall you speak against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, Your wife will become a harlot in the city. That's not any way to win friends, I can assure you. Your sons and your daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be parceled up by a measuring line, and you yourself will die upon unclean soil. Moreover, Israel will certainly go from its land into exile. Amos chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. This is a crazy thought, but you know what came to my mind when I thought of Amos and this priest Amaziah trying to converse? It would be like hearing a duet sung by Marie Callas and Tiny Tim. You could never mix those voices. And when you put these two ancient characters together, they don't fit either. Yet Amos doesn't back down a bit. He says that he didn't ask for the job. God called him, and there he was. He had nothing to commend himself except God's calling. That's it. Amos had every reason to feel inferior, but he didn't. Now, admittedly, I've pressed my point to the extreme, but the lesson is obvious. When your eyes are on yourself, you will not get out of your own home in the morning successfully. The task is too difficult. If your eyes are fixed on the Lord, you can step into life and keep that heart with the Lord, just like Amos did. Whatever the task, you can do it. A scriptural viewpoint. But it isn't just that. Let's get some other things straight. We need to know about God's estimate of us. Consider some New Testament principles as to what God thinks of you, child of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, we hear Jesus' insights. Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? You're worth much to God, that's the point. Jesus is teaching about worry in this passage, and there are other truths here too. If God cares for and sustains a little sparrow in the sky, aren't you worth much more than that small, fragile bird? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? The answer is none. And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin.